This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. Today is our segment with Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon. We're looking at training kids to be athletes. So most elite athletes begin training at a young age. And over the years, there have been no shortage of athletes that have made a mark in their careers well even before they reach adulthood. If we think of athletes like Nordabita Sabri, Alia Yong, Lee Chong Wei, and many more, not just in Malaysia, but overseas as well. But what are the pressures that come with training as an elite athlete from such a young age, and how does all this intense training affect their growth? That's what we want to talk about today with Dr. Harjit, as well as Sheldon Xavier, who's a football trainer and coach, and he's going to be sharing, you know, what he's observed and his experiences working with younger kids when it comes to football training. How are the both of you today?
Yeah, I'm great. Ready to go.
Let's look at, you know, I cited a few names of high-performing athletes, and we know that a lot of them begin and are exposed to the training at a very young age. Why is this so, Dr. Harjit? Why do we want to start them when they're young?
Okay, I see kids when they are injured, and seemingly they are starting to come at a younger age nowadays, with a different set of injuries, because the skeleton of a child and that of an adult is totally different. There is an element of growth involved in the muscles and the bones. But the way I look at it is, sports is getting extremely popular. Parents are starting children into sports at a much younger age. And one thing that's happening is that the specialization into specific sports probably is happening at a lower age than it used to be before. And I always worry that about that element. I always feel that, you know, initially kids should just enjoy playing and not going into a specific sport too early. But I do see that kids 8 years old, 6 years old are already, you know, going into soccer training, you know, very specific skill-based sporting activities. And that's what I think is going to be something interesting I would like to know about also.
What do you observe, Sheldon?
For me, I mean, children, young athletes, they are basically physically developing and from their childhood right up to their teens. So which means they have different capabilities and adaptations to exercise. And they're also eager beavers as well to try and push themselves to the limits. So as a trainer, we need to observe all these traits to ensure that they are doing it within the boundaries and they do not go overboard in order to avoid any risk of injuries and sprains and tears and all that. So as a trainer, this is one of the key objectives that we need to be observing of what the trainees are going through, and also develop sort of programs where you can actually benefit them to provide more good rather than harm.
But what age are you seeing them coming in for football training now? Is it true that they're coming in younger and younger?
For a start, I mean, I don't just work on football. I work in sports in total. So it could be high-intensity sports. It could be team sports. It could be individual sports. So we're talking about age. I work as young as, from kids as young as 3.5 years old and right up to the golden age of 83. So, obviously when they're 3 years old, you know, they're still building up, they're growing up, their muscle development and all that. We need to be very, very careful. And they're eager beavers, as I mentioned earlier, you know, they just want to jump. They just want to just push themselves to the limit. But that is where as a trainer, we need to be, observing of what they can and cannot do. And we need to put a stop sometimes on if they go a bit too old.
Dr. Harjit, you already mentioned that, you know, in terms of the musculoskeletal system, kids are different, right? And even at different ages, at a young age, there are great differences as well from year to year. Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Okay, I think we are dealing with a growing skeleton. That's the key point that we need to emphasize. The most important thing is that the bone is growing and there is a growth plate which is not found in adults. So the length of the bone does not grow uniformly all over. Most of the growth is at the ends of the bone, and the growth plate is located at the ends of the bone. Now, adding to that, the muscle tendons are also attached to the points near the joints so that motion can happen. The growth of the bone and the muscles are also not equally happening at the same time. During the growth spurt, during puberty, the skeleton will tend to grow much faster than the muscle and tendons, causing a loss of flexibility. So your eager beaver, Sheldon, if at that point we are not very mindful of these kind of changes, then yes, they are prone to injury. And apart from the acute, let's jump and tear something kind of injury or break something kind of injury, there also is the element of an overuse injury. And the thing about children is they are not able to express well enough as adults do what's happening and where the pain is. So there's a whole package and balance that we deal with. The main thing is children don't lie. When they have a problem and they say they have pain, we normally have to look for the problem because they aren't going to be able to tell us in detail. So my concept has always been is that we don't treat them as they are not small adults. They're not small size adults. You are dealing with a totally different group. It's just like there's men, women, and children. So everything is different.
Sheldon, how would you adjust your training accordingly? Let's say for a young 3-year-old, 4-year-old child compared to, say, an older one that's going into teenagehood.
Well, it's all about the level of the resistance training programs that I developed for them. If you are older, if you're in the teenage years or young adult, then obviously you can push the limits and create more resistance trainings for them to actually go further. But for kids, like I said, like what doctor said, they will tell you if they're in pain, they'll tell you if they can't do it anymore because they are giving their 101% level best in what they do. So I do not differentiate the trainings between kids and adults. It's the same routine basically, but obviously I would look into the number of reps and of how much they can do and what they should not be doing and all that. So these are the little things that I would observe and I will monitor when I work on trainings.
What does a regime look like for a young child? What kind of athletic skills are you trying to build?
Basically strength, endurance, speed, balancing, agility. So we talk about, working on jumps, lateral jumpings, high knee runs, things like that. It's just to develop their strength and their balance first. And then eventually, once they garner that, then they would actually utilize this value into the kind of sports that they are into, i.e. football or badminton or squash and all that. So developing muscle strength and fitness.
Aren't those kinds of skills what kids should be developing from just playing, and what's the difference when they go through intensive training, right?
Once they start playing as per norm without any supervision, there's a risk of working on their imbalance. There's a risk of them falling and avoiding the unnecessary injuries, i.e., when you're jumping, you're landing on your full feet, which means you might just sprain your ligament and get some tears and all that. So these are the little techniques of how do you actually fall, how you land, and how do you do a soft landing and things like that. So it's basically techniques and supervision. It's just to ensure that they do not create any more harm than they should.
What do you think, Dr. Hajit? Because I know you started off saying that you are concerned because you're seeing these kinds of injuries earlier.
I think structured training, like what Sheldon offers and what are seen in the small community-based clubs that kids are going to is here to stay. The idea is that if it's supervised by someone who knows what he's doing, like obviously Sheldon, the way he explains it, it's kind of clear that there's a structure to it. and this structure is individualized to each child, then I think it's safe. But my thinking about sports is a little bit different. I always feel that the child should just go and have some unsupervised play to get interested in being outdoors. A lot of children now are more, you ask them, hey, do you play football? Yes. Do you play basketball? Yes, I do. And they are talking about FIFA on PlayStation or some basketball game and you know, they are not very outdoorsy, so they don't go out. So mine is that I want them to go out and play, because we know that sports is a key for a healthy lifestyle in the future as you get into to become an adult. If you are interested in the outdoors and sports at when you're a child and then you become a teen and everything's managed well, you will ultimately be an outdoor person, and that will be translated to your kids, your relatives and everyone around you. And I think then we get a healthy community.
Yeah, I just think you're right in the sense, but we also need to basically just divide it between recreational kind of sports and more of a competitive way of sports. So, yeah. I mean, for recreation, I mean, we grew up in a way that, you know, we just went off to the field and played and got injured and all that and nothing happened and we just became stronger by ourselves. But when it comes to more of a competitive sports, i.e. you want to improve yourself, that means you want to go take it further, you want to become an athlete, professional athlete, and obviously you need that sort of supervision in order to know exactly what you can and you cannot do and work on the right techniques and all that. So I think that there is a difference in that sense, because you can't just expect, like, a pro athlete to just go out there without having a trainer who's regimenting his routine and all that and creating structures of the training program, as opposed to recreational training where, you know, you just go out there, you kick a football, you fall down, you get a cut, you go back, and then that's the end of it. So I think that there are two elements here, which is why when parents send their kid to any personal trainers, there is a reason, as they want to see a bit more value of what they can actually develop from the trainings and take it to another level.
Yeah, so I do see your point there, but this is where I differ. I think the selection of the sport that the kid ultimately wants to get involved in should not be from the parent.
Of course.
The way I look at it is that this free play part is for the child to select what he ultimately wants to do, and for the adult to look at the child and decide, hey, this guy is actually good at this as compared to another thing. Okay, you know, he's okay, he's good at his badminton, he seems to have the acumen for that. And then these children are sent to people like you who build, like, the things exactly what you said, that you build on their skills, the agility, the general work, and from then on they take it to the next level. My problem has always been with the children who are too young, already, you know, being coned down to a certain spot. And what happens then is that, forget about injury. We can take injuries out. I think I don't want potentially good, exceptionally athletic teenagers losing interest in the sport too early, because they have been pushed in, and it's all, you know, everything is regimented. So that's my worry, and that's what I think we have to be mindful about.
100% completely what you're saying, Doc. Because, I mean, I know of many parents, they want the kids to play a specific sport as opposed to what the kid wants themselves. So it is important at a very young age that the kid will have to choose their own kind of sports, which they like. And, you know, kids being kids, they will change their mind after a few months. I said, you know what, I don't want to do rugby anymore. I want to go into badminton. So as parents or as guardians, we need to be supportive and motivating of the fact that, you know, they are actually trying, cheating, and they are also failing. You know, they need to learn how to fail as well. And then, of course, they will know that, okay, this is how much I can do and what I can do to push myself to go further. And once they really understand the concept of what they want to do, that's when we, as guardians or parents or trainers, and we will actually try and support and motivate them and says, you know what, I think you might want to consider doing this instead. Yeah. What my observation is, what the strength is, and what you can do. So, yeah, you're right in the fact that, you know, kids should be allowed to choose the kind of sport that they want to get themselves into first. Let them fail and then carry on after that.
Yeah.
All right. We have to go for a quick break. But the question that I want to come back with when we're back from the break is should there be a fixed age, below which kids are considered too young to start? The age of 3 that Sheldon said is really shocking to me. So let's come back and talk a little bit about that, as well as, you know, what's the healing process like for children, growing children, when they do have these injuries? And we'll continue to talk about a little bit about the psychological aspects of going through intensive training as well. I'm speaking to Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, and Sheldon Xavier, a trainer and coach. We are talking about training kids to be athletes on today's episode. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyi. On the line with me, Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, as well as Sheldon Xavier, a trainer and coach. We are talking about training young children to be athletes. And we are talking about the issues that come with working with kids from a very young age. They have a growing skeleton. There are lots of issues that make their training different from that of older children and as well as adults. And I think we spent quite a bit of time talking about, you know, that finding that balance between letting kids just play and be exposed to finding some sort of sport or activity that they enjoy versus specialized intensive training or structured training in a particular sport that whether it's the parents or the children themselves want to pursue specifically. But, you know, coming back a little bit again to the skeletal issues and the injuries, Dr. Harjit, does structured intensive training, can it adversely affect children's growth?
Okay, this is not a yes or no answer. Okay, if you have structured training supervised well, done appropriately to the age and capability of the child, I think it's only going to benefit the teenage athlete or the child. The idea about structured training is to build a good base. That means you build agility, you build base, good coordination, good balance. And that is itself preventive for injury. And on the other hand, gets you good at picking up skills and, you know, the finer points of specific sports. So I think if it's done well, very good. It really works. The problem comes is that, okay, you've got someone who does it in a structured manner and now goes away and translates it to a friend in a very unstructured manner. And now that friend is definitely going to get injured because he or she are never similar, right? Both of them are growing children. So the supervision. So when we speak about this, I think having it structured, having it supervised, picking up problems early, dealing with the problems, pushing the child or slowing him down is of most importance and benefit.
Sheldon, what would you be looking out for when you're working with kids in terms of making sure that they're not going through injuries or having some sort of adverse effects from the training?
First and foremost, preparation and structure of the training has to be done. Okay, we need to actually work out a proper training regime, a routine, to ensure that they get the full value of the trainings. We need to be aware of the amount of reps that they do and the amount of breaks that they have in between as well. And especially for young kids, like I said, you know, you start off like a 3.5-year-old or 4-year-old, they're very hyper, you know, but as being hyper as they are, they'll just go the mile. They'll just keep on running and running and running. But at the end of the day, it's going to strain them a lot. So what we do here is that we will say, all right, this is it. You're going to do about, say, example, 5, 6, 7 reps. You're going to stop. You're going to have a water break. You're going to have a quick rest for about 20 or 30 seconds. And then you start again. So it's about monitoring the routines to ensure that they gain the full value of the trainings, as well as not to overdo them. Some of them, you know, we do high intensity trainings. Obviously, if they are not used to it, they're going to have very difficulty in breathing, which means they will not be able to perform the next routine. So giving them that sufficient time break, maybe lowering down the number of reps, just to get their body adjusted. And once they go to another level, then we take it a little further, because we can't expect anybody to just come in who has never done, let's say, a high intensity trainings to actually go through the full mile and do like, say, 25 burpees and all that. It's not responsible. It doesn't work that way. So we need to be very structured. We need to be mindful of what they can and cannot do. And we have to work within their strength and their capability and try and bring their strength up. That's my personal observation and my work.
So Dr. Haji, before the break, I said that I wanted to ask about age, right? So is there a right age to start training?
I don't think there's an exact age. I see structured training right from the age of 6. Okay, my idea is that if you're going to work on flexibility, basic skills, coordination, balance, I think all these can be started at a very, very young age. And that will allow them to probably take part in multiple kind of games. So, okay, they can play with this kind of improvement in coordination, agility, speed. You will definitely be good at football, badminton, basketball. But specialization into a particular sport, I think it's about at the age of 11, 12, as they are hitting puberty. That is the time that they can make an informed decision, and they can already go through the part where I like this, no, I hate it now, and they finally find their path. It might change. The interest of a teenage is probably about 3-4 months, and then they keep on shifting. But I think it's a right time for them to decide what they are going to get into. I think puberty is one. Now, at that time, when you start pushing the child, we have to be mindful that, okay, now they have their growth spurt. They will develop some flexibility issues, and then the knee, the lower back, and the ankle are possibly parts that can have injury. So I think if you look at age, I think the younger child is, you start on a broad base, you push them into a particular direction, or they will find their own path around the teens, early teens.
Sheldon, how do you, modify your training when kids hit puberty?
Okay, below the age of, let's say, 10 or 9 years old, obviously it's more recreational based. But when they reach at the teenage years, then obviously, I mean, their muscles have developed, their strength has developed. And that's when it becomes a bit more structured. And that's when it will add in a bit of a push to actually see how far they can actually go and work on the routines. It's all about growth and development from that stage onwards, and done it in a more structured way. So in the early years, like you say, you know, for 5, 6, 7 year olds, not so much, focusing on certain part of the body where you want to develop your fibers and the muscles. It's more of their balancing and their recreational strength. But as they grow older, then it becomes a bit more structured.
How do you deal with the non-physical aspects of intensive training, mentally and emotionally, the competition, the push, and, you know, whether some kids have that sort of resilience to put up with, doing this day in, day out, you know, the rigorous kind of schedule that you set for them. How do you cope with those kinds of issues?
It varies, basically, because kids, with their individual personalities, some of them are very, very strong in terms of their focus in their mind. Some of them are very weak. They get demotivated very, very quickly. So as trainers, we need to ensure that, you know, we are there for them. We got to listen to them and actually just address the issues that they go through. So it's all about being there, motivating them, psyching them up, and pushing them and encouraging them. And eventually, once they gain that confidence, then they are able to go further. Because there are cases where, you know, I've heard of coaches, they become a bit demotivated themselves. They become judgmental. They say, you know, this kid's not going to make it. Or this kid's too fat and all that. So these are little things that would actually create more harm to the kid's confidence. So as a trainer, it is our responsibility to ensure that, you know, we set the objectives right, we set the directions right for them, and we have to be that. We got to be a friend to them as well and encourage them. It's like we're being a parent to them when they are with us for that 1 hour and says, you know what, you can do it. Go on, push it, give it a try. And eventually you'll see results. And it's worked well in my case with some of the kids.
Dr. Hajit, what do you observe with regard to psychological issues? When you see kids coming in with injuries, it's a pretty challenging part of the process that they're going through.
Okay, I think the younger child, okay, the go-to person is always the parent. So, you know, it is the older child that looks up to the trainer. So initially, the young child is going to do whatever the parent, you know, whatever the child perceives that the parent wants him to do. So that's the way I look at it. Now, that is the time that the adult, which is most important, is going to be the parent. Now, the parent determines how the child's mind behaves. Now, if the parent manages situations well, I think it's very easy to manage a young athlete when they are winning and doing well. I think, you know, that's super easy. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's when a young athlete, maybe 6-8 years old, has gone for a competition and it's not doing very, very well. The parent should then encourage them further. So the interest remains and they continue to become better. So I think managing situations which are bad is as important as winning. Okay, that's one. Now, the second part is, as I notice that my patients, as they reach the age of 10, 11, they shift from listening to the parent to listening a lot to the coach. So then the coach takes the role of the main adult. Now, children who have injuries are easy in the sense that they come to you with a problem. If you identify the problem and communicate the problem over well, most of the problems are easily dealt with. It involves predominantly overtraining, overuse, inappropriate footwear, something which is easily adjustable. And then they don't have much of a memory of the injury after they are okay. It's not like adults. Adults, they tend to get haunted by the injury for a period of time. So then when they get back to sports, they are still a bit mindful of what happened to them before. But children are not like that. So the kids that I see, okay, whether they are on a more elite level or recreational, they tend to come predominantly with an overuse injury mostly. That means these are injuries that happen due to a poor play-rest cycle, or the pre-participation evaluation didn't pick up something that was there before, putting them at risk for injury. And if we add on the fact that the skeleton is growing, then you get a lot of problems around the knee. There are, you know, a lot of tendon issues that crop up right around puberty, particularly in kids, involving a lot of running and jumping activities. And these can be managed just by appropriate therapy and a modification of exercise. So it's not rocket science. It's just by picking out the problem, communicating it with the adult, whether it's the parent, the coach, or, you know, an uncle, and everything will be okay.
Is the healing process for children different compared to adults?
It's much faster. It's much faster. The only thing that we have to be mindful about is that we are dealing with areas which involve a growth plate. At times, we know that keeping them away from sports for a period of time and a bit of rehab, and once they are okay, ensuring that the problem that caused the injury in the first place is taken out of the equation, they heal very, very well. As a matter of fact, when I was in training, you know, the professor of sports orthopedics in UK and where I trained, he used to tell me that sometimes the intervention that we do slows down healing. So he always tells me that the minor ones, just tell the child to stay away for a short while. But he told me the challenge is to get a child who loves sports to stay away so long from sports. So you can't. So you have to manage the mind. They go crazy if they don't play. So the idea is to answer your question specifically. No, they are fine most of the time.
One of the injuries that some of my students are going through, which is the Osgood Schlatter.
Yeah,
common one. Quite a common injury where kids go through, because they're in the growing phase and they find a lot of swelling and pain when they're doing their runnings and jumpings and all that. I mean, from your perspective, Doc, I mean, what do you feel about when would be the right time for them to actually go through that healing process, and how long would it take before?
Probably Osgood Schlatter is the condition where the patella tendon, the point where it inserts into your shin bone, that part, it's very close to the growth plate of the shin bone. So it's called, when that gets inflamed, you tend to have a little bit of a bump there, and there's a lot of pain when they run and they jump. Mm. Now, bringing us back, the reason why this occurs is during the growth spurt, the length of the bone or the structure of the bone is growing much more rapidly compared to that of the quadricep muscle and the patella tendon further down. So if we are mindful of that, we tend to work on their flexibility a bit more, so we prevent it. But once we are caught with a scenario that we have that problem, it is around a 6-week rehab process from which we keep them away from sports. Then as we bring them back over the third week, we take off jumping, we take off running, we probably encourage them for water-based exercises. Swimming is fine. And as they heal off, we have to be mindful that they continue to stretch well, stretch at a longer period of time in their warm-up and their warm-down to prevent further problems. Then I think we are okay most times. You know, they might get a recurrence, but it's not too bad. So that's for that specific problem, which I see a lot.
Sheldon, how do you incorporate this, you know, the time off to recover from injuries? How do you, you know, deal with that in terms of the training regime?
Well, obviously, we need the advice of the medical practitioner, the physician, and because he would determine how severe the injury is. If it's just like a slight swell, then obviously we can still carry on with the trainings, but we focus on the other areas of the body instead of, for example, if you've got a leg injury, then we will just work on the upper body and the arms and all that, so that the fitness level becomes consistent. But obviously, if the injury is a bit more serious, measurable in the sense that, you know, it will take about maybe 2 or 3 months, and obviously everything has to stop in order for recovery and healing.
And so, I'm interested, Dr. Hajit, because you said that children's recovery and healing is, superior in that sense compared to adults. And also, you know, coming on from what Sheldon said about how kids are eager beavers, they will just push and they're enthusiastic and they want to do it, right? So when it comes to the training perspective, Sheldon, what are the dangers of, and you are somebody who's very well aware of the issues, but there could be trainers who are not, or there could be families just sort of doing it on their own, not so structured. And what's the dangers of kind of thinking, it's okay to push kids further and further because their bodies can take it?
The dangers and the fear that we have as trainers is that the recurrence of the injury itself, given that they have not had sufficient time to heal. The risk of them doing their own routines without the supervision of trainers, and that would create more damage and harm. So that is some of the worries. So which is why, before the start of any sessions or with new clientele and all that, you know, we always engage with them to find out about their medical history, if they have any or any previous injuries if they had any, so that we are mindful and we are aware of. And of course, if it's too severe, then obviously we will have to make a conclusive decision to see whether we want to carry on with the structured sort of training that they have requested.
I think that's very important and very correctly put. I think the pre-participation evaluation or an assessment of the child is very important, because you then have two things. You can either decide whether the child is appropriate for this kind of training. The second is it gives you the base at which you start from. So then you know, he's doing it safely. Now, when you don't do that, you may miss some exercise-induced asthma situation or some undiagnosed heart issue, and that's a disaster.
The kinds of injuries that you see in children and younger athletes, Dr. Harjeet, would these increase their risk of having similar issues when they're in adulthood?
Yeah, so, okay, there are injuries that are related to overuse, which are more common in teenage athletes because of the changes of growth. Okay, managed well, I think that don't carry on towards adulthood. But I do see a small group of patients who have bad ligament injuries, bad meniscus injuries, say around the knee or around the ankle. And these, unfortunately, they do get carried forward across into adulthood. So if you have a teenage athlete, say 16 years old, and he suffers from an anterior cruciate ligament injury at the knee, and I may be able to fix it, but we know that over time, the wear and tear of the joint is definitely more than that of someone who did not have the injury, and it's definitely more than the opposite side. So, that shouldn't, result in us shying away from sports. We now know that technology and science is moving forward at a rapid pace. So there's always a way. But if to answer your question specifically, bad injuries, yes, it will be carried on. But sometimes these changes are seen on X-rays, but, the adult doesn't have symptoms because they have managed it well. They have kept themselves fit. They manage the strength and flexibility of the area around the injured part, and they are happy and they go on. So it's not like an end-all.
Sheldon, can I just very quickly look at, in terms of working with children, apart from the sport-related injuries, children are also vulnerable to abuse and exploitation, especially, in these kinds of situations where they're outside of the eye of the parents, I suppose. So, what are the kinds of boundaries and, what do you do to ensure that the children you work with are always in a sort of safe environment?
Yeah, obviously, the coaches are all brief. We are working in the team sport where there are 20 kids. And obviously, if the coaches are responsible for the day, they would be brief on advising and pep talking the kids before the start of training, that they will not condone any indisciplinary issues like name callings and swearing and things like that. So it's our responsibility as coaches to ensure that they are keep track and they are disciplined in the way that if they get slightly on the offensive side of what they're not supposed to do, then they will be sin bin for a bit. So it's making them realize that this will not be tolerated or condoned. So and that's helped a lot as well. And obviously we have seen lesser issues of i.e. bullying and name calling during sessions.
But there's also the risk of abuse from the coaches and the trainers.
Yes, not on my watch. Thank you.
Yeah. He only abuses the adults that he trains.
In competitive environments, like in tournaments, yes, we have seen certain cases where parents get, they overreact and become, and that's not acceptable. So obviously, as coaches, we need to pull them aside. Don't confront them publicly, but pull them aside and say, this is not acceptable, and we need to keep check on our behavior in a sense, because there are kids around, and you are a prime example to who you are at the end of the day. So So yeah, little things like this would help in a long way. So it's just by talking to them in a more courteous way, it helps.
So you're talking about parents behaving badly?
Mm. Well, there are certain instances. Yeah. When it comes to a very competitive environment, like i.e. in a tournament, yes. I've seen that, yes. I've seen the worst of it.
Parents behaving, worse than the kids, probably. We're running out of time, but maybe just to wrap up, would you have a final message for us, Sheldon, on what we've been talking about today?
Yeah, it's just that keep fit, keep strong. Ensure you go for your medical checkups as well, your yearly medical checkups, to ensure that you are in the right state of frame to actually work out the rigorous routines that you have signed up for, and do your best.
Dr. Hajit?
Yeah, I think for me, we have to be mindful that children are not small adults. We have to deal with the growing skeleton and also the growing mind. Mm. Guided well, children will make excellent teenage athletes, and we always hope that they continue further into adulthood, and even when they end their sporting career, they have sports in their DNA and they continue contributing in some way or the other. So I think that managing them from the word go is key.
Thank you so much. I've been speaking to Dr. Hajit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, and Sheldon Xavier, trainer and coach, about training kids to be athletes. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.